We interrupt this recording of the Morologue to bring you the best news ever. This podcast's number one fan, My Fair Lady's Cancer, is in remission. Hallelujah! Mamma mia! God is good. Hey, I told you, we got this, hon. Big shout out to all of the people involved in her treatment. And above all else, her family, the rest of the Re-Kardashians, for the love and support that they have given their baby sister. Now, back to the show. Hey, it is Friday, February 2nd, a.k.a. Groundhog Day. Hey, it's Friday, February 2nd, a.k.a. Groundhog Day. Hey, it's Friday, February 2nd, a.k.a. Groundhog Day. This Morologue bit has been inspired by the 1993 film Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray, who played a cynical TV weatherman named Phil Connors, covering the annual Groundhog Day event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and he became trapped in a time loop, which forced him to relive February 2nd repeatedly. Now, pals of the podcast, just mentioned them, the Re-Kardashians, you guys should press play. This film is considered a comedy classic. I'm going to be watching it later today. It's like The Wizard of Oz. I like to revisit it once a year, and no better day to revisit Groundhog Day than, wait for it, Groundhog Day! By the way, the movie was directed by Harold Ramis from a screenplay by him and Danny Rubin. I mention that because while we like to keep it positive here on the Morologue, our brand new researcher, Wikipedia, well, she wants to make a name for herself quickly. She wants to put her stamp on the proceedings. She wanted to spill some tea about the movie. I said sure, as long as she cleans up the mess. So here it is. According to Mizpedia, after being cast, Murray clashed with Ramis over the script. Murray wanted to focus on the philosophical elements, whereas Ramis, he concentrated on the comedic aspects. Now, principal photography took place from March to June 1992, almost entirely in Woodstock, Illinois. That's going to be brought up because it's difficult to film from March to June 1992 in Woodstock, Illinois. There was bitterly cold weather, but also because of the ongoing conflict between Ramis and Murray. And for all of its success, the film, well, it marked the end of Ramis's and Murray's long collaborative partnership, which had produced films like Caddyshack and Ghostbusters. Now, after filming ended, the pair did not speak to each other until shortly before Ramis's death in 2014. Better, you know, late than never, and sad, because you look at what those two were able to collaborate on and create. And by the way, Re-Kardashians, if you haven't seen Caddyshack and Ghostbusters, I recommend you add that to the weekend movie viewing list. Now, for the role of Phil Connors, Chevy Chase, Tom Hanks, and Michael Keaton were also considered. Hanks was, in fact, Ramis' first choice, but he rejected the offer, rationalizing that he was typecast, portraying nice people, and the audience would be expecting his inevitable redemption, whereas Murray was, quote, such a miserable son of a bitch on and off screen, end quote, that the outcome would be less predictable. Keaton said that the role of a, quote, wry, sardonic, glib character was a typical role for him, but that he simply did not understand the film. He later confessed regret in passing on the role. Meanwhile, Rubin wanted Kevin Klein for the part, believing Murray didn't have the necessary acting ability. Ramis reassured Rubin, saying, "Hey, don't worry. This is what Bill Murray can do. He can be that nasty and still make you like him." Co-star Andy McDowell agreed, saying, quote, "He's a jerk, but he makes you laugh." McDowell was cast because she was thought to bring up an effortless grace suited to Rita's character. McDowell tried to adapt to Murray's natural improvisation in scenes. She believed that her character's humor comes from her honesty without being outlandish. Now, in the years since its release, the film has definitely grown in esteem. It's often considered to be among the greatest flicks of the 1990s, one of the greatest comedy movies ever, and it's also had a significant effect on popular culture. The term Groundhog Day, meaning a monotonous, unpleasant, and repetitive situation. Rewind a little to the beginning of this story and you'll see what I mean. I was influenced by this Groundhog Day phenomenon, but it goes much deeper than that. While Groundhog Day has become part of the English lexicon, Buddhist, Christian, and Jewish scholars have analyzed the film as a religious allegory. Groundhog Day is also credited with having ushered in mainstream acceptance of comedy films with fantasy genre elements. In 2006, the United States Library of Congress selected the film for preservation in the National Film Registry. And yes, this being Groundhog Day, it was back in 1887 that, let me say this right, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, celebrated its first Groundhog Day. It included a highly, I'm talking super scientific experiment in which a groundhog popped out of its hole. And if it saw its shadow, well, that would mean 6 more weeks of winter. No shadow, that would mean an early spring. Now, in reality, science suggests that he was likely appearing in order to check for mates. Checkmate? Hey, so, did Punxsutawney Phil see his shadow in Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania this morning? Inquiring minds want to know. Well, the answer is no, he did not, meaning he predicts an early spring. If it stops being cold sooner, that's always sweet. And speaking of something cold and sweet, I scream, you scream, we all scream when we see our monthly credit card statement. Okay, I must admit, I used to let out a gleeful scream when I heard the merry music signaling the arrival of the ice cream truck to the neighborhood. And it was on this day in 1897, 10 years to the day after Punxsutawney Phil first poked his head out of that hole. But on this day in 1897, Alfred Crawley patented the ice cream scoop after watching his co-workers at a Pittsburgh drugstore struggle to scoop cones. Crawley was one of several black inventors to file a patent after the 14th Amendment granted citizenship rights to black Americans. Now, his design of an ice cream mold and disher was made to be strong and durable, effective, inexpensive, able to keep ice cream and other foods from sticking, and easy to operate with one hand. Now, it could be constructed in almost any desired shape, such as a cone or a mound, with no delicate parts that could break or malfunction. The basic design was so efficient that it's still in use today. February is Black History Month, and the Morologue salutes inventor Alfred Crawley. Switching gears, pun always intended. One of the world's greatest race car drivers is switching teams in Formula One. Sorry, Pebbles. I'm talking about the American singer and not the Flintstones' daughter. But starting in 2025, Lewis Hamilton will no longer be a Mercedes boy. In a shocking move, Ferrari announced Thursday that Hamilton will leave Mercedes after 11 years and join the Prancing Horse powerhouse. The 39-year-old Hamilton has won a joint record 7 World Drivers' Championship titles, tied with Michael Schumacher, and he holds the records for the most wins, 103, pole positions, 104, and podium finishes, 197. Lewis Hamilton, a generational talent, is taking his skills to Ferrari in 2025. And when reading this story, I was reminded of my summers in the mid-1990s spent as the track announcer at Agassiz Speedway in Agassiz, British Columbia, 90 minutes east of Vancouver, a quarter-mile oval track, and this year they are celebrating 50 years of stock car racing in the Fraser Valley. Congratulations to the fine folks at Agassiz Speedway. All right, as we speed into the first weekend of February, I hope the next 48 hours give you an chance to actually slow down, catch up on rest. Amy Beecham at stylist.co.uk writes, "Rest isn't just important for the body. It is essential for your mind and mental health too. Now, there are considered 7 types of rest that everyone needs to function in a healthy way. Theorized by Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, a physician, researcher, speaker, and author of Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. They include mental, emotional, creative, social, and physical rest. It's important not to overlook the lesser known types, including emotional rest. Because let's be honest, holding on to your emotions, either to please others or simply because you feel unable to express them, requires a lot of energy. True emotional rest is all about processing those emotions and feeling like you can share them with those around you, i.e. being your truest self. Ultimately, the key aspect of emotional rest is that it is intentional and focused on recharging our emotional batteries. Just as our bodies need rest and recovery after physical activity, our emotions also require downtime to recover from the stresses and challenges of daily life. One of the most important steps in getting more emotional rest is to set clear boundaries around your time and energy. This means learning to say no to commitments that drain your emotional energy and carving out time in your schedule for activities that replenish you. Indeed, equally important is engaging in activities that bring you joy. Doing things that make you happy is an important part of emotional rest. Whether it's spending time with friends, pursuing a hobby, or simply taking a relaxing bath, make time for activities that bring you joy and help you to recharge. For optimum emotional rest, you should also disconnect from technology. Well, wait until you finish hearing this podcast, and practice self-compassion. Self-compassion involves treating yourself with kindness and understanding and accepting yourself as you are and taking a digital detox or setting aside specific times each day can help you to unplug and focus on restorative activities. Finally, it's important to seek support when you need it. Talking to a friend, family member, or a professional, having someone to talk to can help you to process your emotions and get the support you need to maintain emotional well-being. Speaking of emotional well-being, parents were asked to share some of the words and phrases they use to help cope with raising their kids. The list includes threenager, a 3-year-old throwing a teenage-style fit. Mombie, a mom who looks like a zombie due to lack of sleep. And, well, my personal favorite only because, yes, Lois Cotton, common denominator, toilet humor, Poonami, a baby's explosive poop. Pala the Podcast, and you Mama Pusha P, you have my sympathy. Today's Morovation comes from, only when it comes to Punami, otherwise Lil P, Lil P is going to be a powerhouse, baby. He's going to be a bar spitter non-peril. And when it comes to people who have been subjected to Punamis, well, today's Morovation comes from author and poet Ursula K. Le Guin. No darkness, or Punamis, lasts forever. The Grammys go down on Sunday. Three-time winner Shakira, she is celebrating her 47th birthday today. Just so happens that her ex and father of her two sons, soccer player Gerard Piqué, he's also celebrating his birthday today. He's a decade younger. He's 37. Last year, Shakira didn't hold back on her first single of 2023, BZRP, Music Session Number 53. What a title. It was helmed by Argentine hitmaker Bizarrap. Well, the Colombian artist is more unapologetic and empowered than ever, and she spits diss verse after diss verse to her ex who left her for a younger woman. All right, I'm going to leave you with the Keyboard Warrior version of the track. Thank you for listening to the Morologue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, Mora Juana is the shit.